Hello all and welcome back. I hope you're all having a fantastic start to the week. Thank you so much, as ever, for continuing to get in touch and sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, please do email hi@choosedobbs.com. This week, I've loved getting this podcast episode ready because last week I did my six new modern bikes that prove motorcycling is better than ever. This week, after all of your very kind input, I'm doing your top bikes, top modern bikes all for sale right now that will be remembered in decades to come. The coolest motorcycles available right now, according to you. Before I begin this, this is why biking is so amazing. I'm going to read this out from HGM8337 in response to my picks last week. Freddie, good luck getting insured on any of those superbikes that you mentioned last week. The likes of the Ducati Street Fighter, the Triumph Rocket, the huge, ridiculous bikes with massive power. Surely these are all going to be too expensive to look after. Oh, but you're wrong. See, this is the magic of motorcycling. I will now prove to you that you don't have to worry about the running costs of these bikes. Motorcycling isn't like car ownership. Look at this. Ducati first, the Ducati Street Fighter. If we look at, for example, my Triumph Bonneville insurance at £60 a year, the Ducati Street Fighter, fully comprehensive insurance, £409 a year. And for 200 plus horsepower bike, I think that £400 a year for insurance, this has got to be one of the most expensive bikes you can insure. That really is not much money at all. I'll do one final one here to hit the point home of, relatively speaking, how good value these super bikes are, these beasts of bikes, to maintain and run. The ultimate, the Triumph Rocket, 2.5-litre engine. I'm going to put this up head-to-head with my Bonneville. My Bonneville is a fairly slow, fairly underpowered, very, very basic motorcycle. It does 45 miles per gallon. Here, pictured my Bonneville. Here, the Triumph Rocket 2.5-litre, 43 miles per gallon. So they almost use incredibly the same amount of fuel. I know that seems completely ridiculous to think about. Road tax for my Bonneville, around about £120 a year. Road tax for the Rocket, £121 a year. So it's the same road tax and they use the same amount of fuel. Finally, insurance for my Bonneville, £61 for the year, and insurance, fully comprehensive, for the Triumph Rocket. Let me just open this up to remind myself. There you go, I'll put this up on screen now. That is, no messing about, fully comprehensive insurance, £158 a year. Need I say more? That's one of the most extreme motorcycles. And if we're just looking at tax, insurance, and miles per gallon, the fuel, there's only a £90 difference in all of those things compared to my very simple Bonneville. Now we've got that out of the way, and we know that these bikes are all going to be attainable and you can afford to run them. Let's begin from the Bike Geek and More. Freddie, the best modern bike is the Honda DAX 125. How could I miss this from last week? I've ridden this bike all around Cornwall. It's rare that I've had so much fun with such a smile on my face. Simplicity, lightness, and just good, simple, honest fun. This is an unbelievably feel-good bike. It's a near exact replica of that original 1960s DAX. Really, you have to look hard to tell the difference. Honda have done a fantastic job with this. So take all of that 1960s styling with modern day reliability. Launched in 2023, £3,900 brand new 125cc engine producing 9 horsepower, and it's got a weight of 107 kilos. If you want a used one, check it out, £2,700 on Facebook Marketplace. So these do hold their value very well. But what a brilliant, timeless, feel-good bike. I love the DAXs. On now to Jade. When you look back at bikes of the past, you think about the iconic, unique models, not really the average run-of-the-mill machines. Jade, exactly this. Even today, we've got a lot of special, unique bikes out there. If I had to pick 7 bikes that are in production right now that I would love to own, it wouldn't be hard to make the list. So seven bikes in the list. I've picked one specific one from Jade. That is the Kawasaki Z900 RS. This is, I think, because of emission standards, due to be discontinued soon, but it is still a bike for sale in Kawasaki's lineup. Huge beast of a bike that perfectly marries super naked-ish performance with that retro styling. It's a very special looking bike, and it's a nod to that 1970s Kawasaki Z1, the legend. And really, I think this bike, in modern day terms, I think it probably does deserve legendary status. It's such an iconic, handsome looking brute of a bike. Launched all the way back in 2017. Can you believe it? 8 years ago. Brand new if you want one, £11,800, 215 kilos, 109 horsepower. And if you want a used version, you can pick one up right here, Facebook Marketplace, £6,500 for a 2018 model. That is not much money for a seven-year-old legend of a bike. I love these, got many happy memories riding that around Bali. On now to Dimadi. The old bikes, they weren't legendary. See, this is fascinating. The old bikes weren't legendary when they were new. They were just bikes. Age and progress has endeared them to us. A BMW R18 will be just as desirable in 25 years' time. This is a perfect example. BMW R18, special bike, loads of character, insane amounts of style, but it's been a phenomenal failure with regards to sales. Really, really awful. They've had to reduce prices, BMW, and they're still not shifting. And that is shown in the used market. So it was launched in 2020. Again, where does time go? 5 years ago. Brand new at £17,500. So it is colossal money. It also weighs a huge amount, 345 kilos, boxer engine, 90 horsepower, with sublime, sublime build quality. These have never sold, even when they came out. It's not like people immediately started getting that new bike rush and were buying them. They never sold well at all. But because they're relatively so rare, because they've been so unpopular, you're going to have a bike with massive character that simply there aren't many of them. So in years to come, I think these will be quite desirable motorcycles. Go on to Auto Trader. Bear in mind, it's £17,500 now. You can pick up a three-year-old one for £8,695. That is a £9,000 saving compared to a brand new one for a bike that's just 3 years old. And of course, I wouldn't be surprised if you could get more money off that as well, because again, used markets, these do not shift. On now to Alex J. Sun. Freddie, I personally own, this is a good one, this is a really good one. I own a Honda CRF 300L that would probably make the list. This is like the default bike within the category. The ultimate dual sport bike, maybe the ultimate dual sport bike that there has ever been, on-road and off-road, faultless reliability, toughness, ruggedness. It is the bike within the genre. If someone's considering a dual sport bike, a bike that you can take off-road and really push, really ragged about the place and trust that it's got the robustness and reliability, and a bike that you can take on road, maybe commute to work if you need something like that as well, this bike can do it all. It's the go-to bike within the genre. And simply because of that, it has to go down as one of these borderline legendary level bikes. Launched in 2021 with a new 300cc engine, taking over from that 250cc. Brand new, it's £5,900, 142 kilos. So it's a proper lightweight with 27 horsepower. I now know that these are the ingredients of fun off-roading. MCN say this. They sum it up perfectly. If you're after a no-frills commuter that will allow you to explore the UK's Green Lane Network, translation off-lane network, off-road network, at the weekend, and do so with unquestioned reliability, then the CRF 300L is the perfect choice. In fact, it's probably the only choice. That tells us everything we need to know. Facebook Marketplace 2021 models. So the first year it was launched, £4,250. That is absolutely insane levels of residuals. And that tells you everything you need to know about how desirable these bikes are. The fact that over the course of 4 years, it's dropped, this is the cheapest one I could find, about £1,700 in 4 years. That's 4 years of thrashing it around off-road tracks, because that's what these bikes are made for. And you'll only have lost about 1.7K, and that's not taking into account any depreciation. On now, in fact, I'm going to carry on here with Alex. Another potential bike, I had to get this in the list, Yamaha Tenere 700, preferably from Alex, in pale blue rally color. Let's take a look at this one, Yamaha Tenere 700 Rally in blue. I've gone for the rally version here. It's just a little bit more purposeful. There are just a few more bits and pieces on it that really give it that visual appeal and that look of ruggedness. Marketed by Yamaha as the ultimate middleweight adventure bike for proper off-roading. Inspired by Yamaha's legendary 1980s Paris-Dakar bikes, tough, quick, reliable, and ridiculously purposeful motorbikes. If you want one brand new, it's £11,400. It's got a 700cc engine, 72 horsepower, and 208 kilos. On the used market, Alex, just for you, I found a 2020 model of these for £7,500. And I completely agree with you, Alex. These look fantastic. It does look like a proper desert racer. Huge fan of those. I need to try one. On now to Bobaross. Freddie, you may guess, well, here we go. Gonna guess by the name here. Bobaross doesn't get cooler than a bobber. I remember when these first came out, 2017. It was almost unlike anything I'd ever seen with regards to a new bike. It was just the most perfect bike. Sub-zero levels of cool and style. These were phenomenal looking machines when they came out, and they still are today, 8 years on. Almost no changes have been needed because it's perfect. It's like the Harley-Davidson air-cooled Sportster. When you've got perfection, why bother changing it? Triumph really with this managed something that is almost impossible. They managed to build a bobber, a cruiser motorcycle that could go toe-to-toe with the old air-cooled Harley-Davidson Sportster, but not be classed as a copy, a rip-off. They managed to somehow build a very Triumph motorcycle that kept all of that Triumphness, but not edge over into the area of, oh, just a low-budget copy of the Sportster. And that in itself is an incredibly difficult thing to do. Remember when these came along? You had the Indian Scout, huge bike to come out to rival the Sportster. You then had the Bobber, and you had that air-cooled Sportster. Those three legends going at it toe-to-toe. The Bobber, the cruiser segment for this 1,000 to 1,200cc category, it had never been more competitive. This is a huge bike in Triumph's lineup. 1,200cc engine, 76 horsepower, 238 kilos, and brand new is £13,200. Go used onto Facebook Marketplace, and this is going to tempt, I'm sure, a lot of people. You can now get them half the price of a new one, £6,250 for all of that style. This will have taken a lot of customers from the Harley-Davidson Sportster, and there are a lot of bike modifiers now that Harley-Davidson has stopped the air-cooled Sportster. They've just moved on to the Bobber because the dimensions are, in a lot of respects, almost exactly the same. You know exactly what Triumph were doing when they brought that out. They made it specifically to go head-to-head with that air-cooled Sportster, just like Indian did with their Scout. To Bruno now. Freddie, how could you not mention the Moto Guzzi V7? I guess that not only in my eyes is it the most beautiful, iconic, and classic Block Capital's classic motorcycle money can buy, and it is still made in Italy. Greetings from the Czech Republic. It's an Italian beauty. It's, in my humble opinion, a bike that defines Italian style and class better than any other bike. In fact, on a level with the Piaggio Vespas, it's that understated class where the lines are just perfect. Nothing too shouty about it, like, for example, a super sports Ducati. This is timeless elegance. Everything about the V7 styling-wise is perfect. And then you've got that V-twin engine to go with it. And of course, the updated engine to the 850cc that came out in 2021. And this new engine meant that it went absolutely neck and neck with the Bonneville, both of them now about 65 horsepower. So the thing that some people didn't like about the original V7s, slightly underpowered engine, well, that was remedied 4 years ago in 2021. So there really was now no reason, surely, not to consider the V7 at the same time that maybe you were considering a Bonneville. This is an Italian-made modern classic bike, and even brand new now, £8,450. I think that's phenomenally good value when you consider that it's made on the banks of Lago di Como in Italy. 233 kilos, 64 horsepower. Owners love their Moto Guzzi V7s. The problem is owners also hate their Moto Guzzi V7s. Moto Guzzi is predictably unpredictable. It really is a complete lottery with what Moto Guzzi you get. You may get a bike that will last you an eternity and never break down, completely faultless reliability, but you may equally as well get a bike that is just chronically unreliable. But they are very special bikes. Go now onto Auto Trader and you can find a used Moto Guzzi V7 with that 850cc engine, 2021 model, so the first year that they came out. Silver colour, which is beautiful, £5,489. And that is a lot of style for just £5,500. Thank you all. I love doing that. That is a brilliant shortlist of legendary level bikes that are still currently for sale. Love that. On now, Americans not happy with Royal Enfield. There's a trend here. I'm reading this out, not because I just got one person mentioning this. This has popped up a few times now. Take a listen. From Elisa: I love my 2022 Royal Enfield Classic 350, but I'm selling it. The local Las Vegas dealership wanted $800 for the initial tune-up. That's oil change and checking slash adjusting the tappets. Screw them. I let it sit in my garage, trying to find a private mechanic to do the job with no luck. Now I'm willing to sell for half price. Block Capital's here. Big black eye for Royal Enfield. Hedgehog then replies, I've had the same in Massachusetts. The dealer here is also completely unhinged with their service quotes. I was really discouraged because I'm no mechanic, but I found that with most common household tools, plus a couple of things for the feeler gauges, YouTube, and a couple of hours work, you can DIY the regular service items. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. This has popped up a few times now. The Americans are not happy with those service costs from Royal Enfield. So there's something in this. When you get, the great thing about Royal Enfields is they're great value bikes. I just feel that this is a huge oversight where there can be quotes of $800 for the tappet adjustments and checking and an oil change. There's something that's gone wrong here. That shouldn't be the case. These are cheap, simple motorcycles, and the joy is the frugality of ownership. And the Americans are not happy from what I've seen. I think I got about 5 messages this past week agreeing with exactly that. Arthur now, a Belgian gentleman in need of some assistance. Arthur, when this came in, I immediately said the exact bike in my head. So this is why I have to read this out from Arthur here. Freddie, I'm getting my A license at the end of the year, so I'm starting to think about which bike to get. Ideally, I'd like to keep my current bike. Right now, I have a 1972 BMW R65, which I love, but it could just be a bit faster. So my first thought is getting a bigger displacement BMW from that period, but it feels kind of silly to get two bikes that are so similar. Another thought is getting a BMW K model. They are cheap and reliable, but not the prettiest in my eyes. I also like the old Dakar style bikes, like the Yamaha XT500 that you mentioned, but where I live in Belgium, there are not a lot of off-road possibilities, so I wouldn't be able to use it to its fullest potential. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. I don't need it to be too powerful, just need it to be higher than A2, but just fast enough. And I do mostly like older bikes. Arthur, in my humble opinion, I have just the bike for you. You want something that is a bit bigger engine-wise. You don't need something to do off-roading because there aren't many off-road areas in Belgium. You clearly absolutely love BMWs and you don't want something too similar to your current 1972 R65 BMW. Arthur, I give to you the BMW R1200C. For me, this will tick every single box for you. Significantly different, still BMW, and so much uniqueness and style. If I were ever looking for a bike to replace the Bonneville, this would be, I would say, top three or four in my shortlist, along with a T120, a Speedmaster, classic 350, and I'd probably put this in there with those. Made from 1997 to 2004, it is, of course, the bike made famous by Pierce Brosnan, James Bond, Tomorrow Never Dies. This is a proper James Bond vehicle. It was BMW's ticket into the cruiser market. It was never a big seller, but I just think these look like such cool bikes. Right now in the used market, Facebook Marketplace, this is a lovely looking one, £4,750. Listed 2 months ago, you can see here that they're still not big sellers even on the used market. And that means you're going to have a lot of opportunity to do some haggling. Also, Arthur, because you're based in Belgium, if ever there's a place that's going to have a good selection of these, it's Germany and the surrounding countries, because of course these are German-made motorbikes. But I think these are hugely underrated motorbikes. I can't tell you how big a fan of these I am. I adore these bikes. Arthur, let me know what you go for and happy shopping. Now to Joe, road tripping Indian style. Freddie, I've just come back from a month-long trip to India with my best friend. We planned a 5-day trip through a small section of the Himalayas, but unfortunately it was cut short to only 3 days due to sudden weather changes. Nevertheless, it was the best 3 days riding I've done in my life. We rode two up. This is incredible. We rode two up with panniers on a classic 350. Imagine that, these little workhorses for 600 kilometers. I was blown away with this bike's performance and even more blown away at the fact that we only needed to fuel up once during our trip. It's a true adventure bike, in my opinion. What a beautiful and fun little machine. What a trip. And I'll wrap it up here with Jennifer over in Alberta, Canada. Freddie, I've got pictured here a 2013 Bonneville I've owned for almost 5 years now, and I've put 17,000 kilometers on it since I bought it. It's been a great do-it-all bike. I've toured with it and carried about 50 or more pounds of luggage, including a ukulele. Jennifer, I love that. I always have a great big smile when I feel like I own a bike with a long history too. If I could only keep and afford one bike, it will always be the Bonneville. Jennifer, could not agree more with you, and that is a perfect place to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I really hope you enjoyed it. Have a brilliant week all. See you all in the next one.